Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. We are at stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast after the shows air live on WKOK. We can drop them to your smartphone and tablet. Just subscribe. All you got to do on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. By the way, if you do listen to us through iTunes with the podcast, please leave us a review. And you can always email the show anytime. Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Steve's in the Sunbury Motors studio soon. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia. On the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we have on the show later, 3:35 live, will be Penn State football writer Frank Bodani of the York Daily Record as we put Michigan in the rearview mirror and look ahead to Wisconsin and the Thon game. This Saturday, Beaver Stadium at 12 noon. We'll have a 10:30 a.m. start for the tailgate show outside the Jordan Center with Steve, Jack, Derek, and Roger here on WKOK and, of course, streaming at WKOK.com. And quite a bit of news breaking this afternoon to tell you about. Dez Bryant, he is back in the National Football League, and he is going to be with a playoff contender. He has signed a one-year deal with the New Orleans Saints. Salary not immediately known. Bryant will officially sign the deal tomorrow. He is spending time in Dallas today for his son's birthday. Saints have a 7-game winning streak, number 2 scoring team in the NFL, but they are thin on proven receivers. Yes, Michael Thomas has had a phenomenal year so far, but he is the only receiver with more than 12 catches this season. So you could say that the Saints could be rolling the dice a little bit about Bryant, whether he's going to be a good locker room fit or not. But New Orleans appears to be all in on a Super Bowl run, with 39-year-old quarterback Drew Brees having one of the best seasons of his career as the Saints continue to make aggressive moves to fill holes in the lineup. And they also traded, if you remember, for backup quarterback Teddy Bridgewater late in the preseason. Bryant turned 30 over the weekend. He had been on the open market since he was released by Dallas in April when he was due to receive $12.5 million. Well, someone who is supposed to receive, I say was supposed to receive, $14.5 million, but did not sign his franchise tag. Of course, talking about Le'Veon Bell of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, pictures and videos circulated online overnight into today of Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh at a fitness club north of the city. Despite the video, no indication that Bell has visited the Pittsburgh Steelers team facility. Bell is a member of this fitness club that has locations two down in Miami. And Bell has spent past off seasons working out in Florida while training away from Pittsburgh and failed to sign the $14.5 million franchise tender while preserving his long-term health for a future lucrative contract. Now, Le'Veon Bell must report to the team by this coming Tuesday at 4 p.m. before the Steelers match up with the Jacksonville Jaguars a week from Sunday, November the 18th, or he forfeits the season. He can become a free agent in 2019 if the Steelers do not place a third franchise tag on him. If they would do that, the tag would be worth more than $20 million. Steelers unlikely to do that. But another option, and Steve brought this up yesterday, was the transition tag, and that's worth 120% of his previous year's salary. So if he plays games this year, the Steelers could try to prove Bell's transition tag should be prorated. In Bell's absence, James Conner has had a great season so far, producing a total of 1,085 yards and 10 touchdowns in 8 games. Maryland has parted ways with Director of Athletic Training Steve Nordwall and Head Athletic Trainer Wes Robinson. They were both placed on paid administrative leave in August, pending 2 investigations surrounding the June 13th death of offensive lineman Jordan McNair from heatstroke. According to a report in the Washington Post, the University System of Maryland Board of Regents recommended last week Maryland retain both athletic trainers in spite of accusations that the Terps training staff failed to quickly diagnose and treat McNair's heatstroke symptoms at a May 29th workout. According to a September 21st report from Walters Incorporated, there was a delay of 34 minutes between when McNair first started cramping during the May 29th workout to the time he was taken off the field. It took 1 hour 7 minutes to call 911 from the onset of symptoms and another 32 minutes before he left in an ambulance to the hospital. McNair was admitted to a local hospital with a body temperature of 106.
Yeah. Okay, so what did Maryland do today? Because this came up in conversation today, and none of us knew, because we were going in to tape a TV show, so none of us really got a handle of what was Maryland doing today, and is it tied to the election yesterday? Because the governor, Hogan, got reelected in a resounding way. And did he get involved in what's going on there?
We had found a report from our friend of the show, Heather Dinich of ESPN. She had posted a story that they have parted ways with the director of athletic training and the head athletic trainer. A couple of other employees that were placed on paid administrative leave in August. The story that I just read, it didn't say, didn't mention anything about
was it Wes Robinson? Wes Robinson?
Yes. Head athletic trainer Wes Robinson and director of athletic training Steve Nordwall.
Okay.
Yep.
Wes Robinson, I know. Nordwall, I don't. Okay. It's not unexpected. It's. They have really. It's a mess down there. And it doesn't take a genius to come up with that. Wow.
Yeah, I wanted to tune in on Saturday just to catch the beginning of the game, just to see the amount of people that were there in attendance. And I mean, the student section was, you know, pretty much non-existent. But they painted a 79 in one of the end zones behind the goal, and they were showing video of the players coming out to kneel and pay tribute to their teammate.
But they did. They did that before the season began.
Yeah,
and 79's been out there all year.
Yeah,
but student attendance. I mean, I can tell you right now, students were not exactly out in droves at Michigan on Saturday either. You know, so student attendance is a problem everywhere. It's not just back to Maryland's problems.
And the other story that I wanted to bring up here right out of the gate, and it has something to do with tomorrow's show. We'll have to find out. Well, we received word from the Philadelphia 76ers this morning that Bucknell basketball great Mike Muscala, he suffered a nose fracture and facial laceration in practice yesterday as a result of a collision with a teammate. He had to receive 6 stitches for the laceration. Ooh. He's going to wear a protective mask for the nose fracture once he is cleared to return to play. At this point, he's going to be out 1 week. Actually scheduled to join us tomorrow afternoon at 4:06. I have been back in contact with the 76ers in case we need to move that interview back, and be completely understandable if that happens. But
well, maybe you understand. I mean, really. No, obviously, we will reschedule, Mike.
Yeah.
I feel awful it happened. So, wow. Boy, the Maryland thing is just...
It'll be interesting going forward for the rest of the season. For those who follow the program, that are connected to the program, that want to see the students do well and succeed, just how tight they're going to rally around the kids and see how they can finish strong. But boy, it is an uphill climb.
You know what? I said a few years ago that there are only a handful of programs in the country that could have survived what Penn State went through and kept the fan base, for the most part, intact. Penn State's one of the handful. Maryland is not. Maryland is in the majority. So the ability to rally around the players, it's not they have anything against the players, but they're not going to rally around them. Because Maryland has always been a program where they've only rallied around it if they were winning. It's just a fact of life. It's not a put-down. It's just a fact of life. That's the way it is at a lot of programs. I've maintained that Penn State was given the best shot of having success because their fans did rally around them. And when recruits came in and looked at the stadium and they saw the place rocking and going crazy for a whiteout, they said, man, I don't know what happened here before, but boy, this place has it, quote, going. And the fans, to me, were a big reason for keeping the program over 500, opening the door for success, opening the door in recruiting, making this a place where a lot of people wanted to be because the enthusiasm around here is so great, and the fans here never gave up. I've said that for a couple of years. Maryland, with all due respect, and it's not a stretch, is not one of those programs, especially on the football side. They might hang in on the basketball side, but not the football side. Football in the end is going to be a greater moneymaker than basketball at Maryland, but it doesn't mean it's the most popular. I mean, basketball is. Football has always been, you know, some popularity, but mostly for the ride, as opposed to basketball there. Yeah, it is.
Actually, after the show last night, we found out that Dino Tomlin, Mike Tomlin's son, Steelers head coach, he has committed to Maryland.
Yeah. Well, I can't speak about that at all. So.
Right. No, you can't. I know you can't. Completely understand. That's just the first one that has, first one we have heard over the past week since the big news out of College Park last week of a prominent player that'll be going to Maryland. Yeah. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He says committed, but yeah, he could wake up one morning and change his mind and go somewhere else.
Right.
So.
Right.
I like the method that you follow, though. Like, you don't mention anything until that kid is signed on the dotted line and in class, and then you know for sure, then you're good to go.
I'm not allowed to because it's a recruiting violation. It doesn't matter if, for example, just so you know, if a said player signs with another school, I still can't talk about them because that player is not signed. Well, if that player isn't signed, it doesn't, just because, quote, they verbaled someplace doesn't mean they can't be flipped. So you have to, you know, the rules say I have to stay away from all of it, which is, and I'll be frank about this, is really great for me because the recruiting thing is so deep right now. The recruiting thing is so deep right now, I could never follow all these players, never. Could never do it.
Well, just when you think the kids can't get any younger and younger, thinking about that next step in their athletic career, you know,
right?
It's like let them enjoy their childhood for a little while longer. It's like what parents say: "Oh, they're just growing up too fast."
Yeah, it is. It might be that way, but you know what? It's, you know, again, I can't delve into it. Like I said, it's a violation. I don't think people want me committing violations. So, I know James doesn't. He doesn't. But yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Frank Bodani coming up in just a few minutes. We'll talk to Frank, get his opinion on wide variety of things. Tony Knopp's coming up with next week. Ken Pomeroy, Ken Pom basketball ratings. Ken's coming up on Monday's show. Yes. Oops gets underway. We already got underway last night. And it was amazing to see Duke's performance where they scored 59 in each half against Kentucky. Now, Kentucky was not great in either one of their exhibition games. So you tend to write that off as, yeah, it was exhibition games. They'll get it together. And it's only the opening game of the season, too. But let's be honest about it. They got run out of the building last night. Not only did they get run out of the building, they got embarrassed last night, as a matter of fact. That was the amazing part about the game last night, was, I mean, Duke embarrassed them. I had to laugh, though. First media timeout comes up. As they were talking about Zion Williamson, he's 6'8", 285 pounds. And so they were comparing him to other bigger athletes. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, the guy's 4 minutes into his career. Now we're already doing this? Hey, Sue told me yesterday he voted 8 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know there were that many precincts in Danville.
Who said they were all in Danville?
That's true. Could have crossed the river to Riverside. That's true.
That's our guy. Getting it done. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show podcast available on iTunes and Google Play. After they air live here on WKOK, we can send them right to your smartphone and tablet. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere. And of course, we always have 3 months of shows always archived at stevejonesshow.com.
And used by military intelligence to play back for people that they capture. And as soon as they hear one of the podcasts, they talk.
We've seen a nice, I was just checking some numbers earlier within the last 24 hours from our leader of digital media. And numbers are looking
good.
That guy. But numbers are looking good. We're getting good, nice little bump up in podcast listeners. So we love that. So keep it coming. Keep it rolling. Spread the word.
Well, that's great.
Always great. More room for people to come into our party.
Absolutely. All right, so let's bring Frank Bodani into the party. Out of York. Frank, welcome back. As you know, it is always a pleasure to speak with you either on the show or most especially in person.
You have double duty, right now? Basketball, football.
I do.
I'm forgetting something else, too.
I've got 8 games in 15 days starting Friday.
But you're up for it, right? You're right.
To me, nobody enjoys it more than me, doing the games. I mean, that's, now that's where I personally think I excel, but there are other people who probably don't think that way, but I do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What
I look forward to seeing you Saturday, maybe. Huh?
I look forward to seeing you Saturday as well. Okay, Frank, they're 6-3. What do you think? I mean, the old Bill Parcells thing, which I was never a great believer in, you are what your record says you are. But in some cases, is this what it says Penn State's record is?
Well, I mean, I think people have the biggest problem, not so much even with the record, but how they've looked getting to this record.
Yeah.
Because you have the excruciating loss to Ohio State. Then you have a game where, coming off a bye, I think most people expected them to handle Michigan State. Not only did they not do that, they lose that game in the last 19 seconds. And it's just the way it looks. I think now people are – it's not so much that – 3 losses I think they can handle. It's just that the way the losses have come. I mean, the inefficiency on offense is almost, I don't know, excruciating to watch because it wasn't supposed to be anything like that.
What do you think when you see the offense? Why?
Well, I don't think there's one easy answer, a combination of a lot of things. But to me, the receivers have been the most disappointing thing on the entire team because despite losing Deshaun Hamilton and Saeed Blacknell, I really thought that would be a strength. Like, that would be the thing, working with Trace, that if Penn State had to, they could outscore most everybody that they would play. Well, it's been the opposite of that. I mean, their veteran receivers have disappeared. I mean, it says a lot that to me the three only trusted receivers are all freshmen right now, a tight end and the 2 young kids that are slot receivers. That's about it. And that's like, that wasn't how I saw this, and I think it's affected Trace aside from his injury, and it's snowballed. So then when you can't pick up the first downs and extend the drives, then teams are able to take something else away and make life harder on Trace, and then he had to run more, and I think he's been banged up from doing that more. And then you see where one thing leads to another thing.
Which then leads to this. We know what the third down numbers are. The base third down number says 34%. How much of that can be attributed to the fact that Penn State, and some of this goes to the drops because, the drop ends up being a zero play for you. But the inability at times to stay on schedule in a 3-down sequence.
Well, yeah, there's no rhythm at all. And it seems like they're trying so hard to get that. They're trying to throw on first down. They get to the end of the game and they're trying to run out the game by passing 1 week, by running it the next week. But and Miles Sanders is getting 7 carries one game, 10 carries another game. They can't get this guy going, who's, I still believe, is a great talent, but when you can't get a running back enough work, how does he get into a rhythm?
Right.
So to me, it's that their offensive line hasn't been able to just blow people off and run the ball at will. So they need the pass game. And I just keep coming back to that because I think the lack of their pass game has put so much burden on than on their defense. So I don't blame their defense at all. I think their defense has done a great job because going into the season, I figured their defense is in transition. Their offense is going to have to help them out. Well, you know what? Going into Saturday, to me, their defense is going to have to find a way to control that game and make the plays and win for Penn State.
In fact, they had only given up 14 points until 56 seconds ago in the third quarter against Michigan. There's some parts where it looked like the defense was holding up on Saturday.
Yeah, I think some of the young kids are finally feeling more comfortable.
Yes.
To me, what they might still be missing is like, okay, you go back to 2004. Their offense was terrible. They couldn't score. End of the year, Alan Zamitis gets on a teleconference and said, we just lost to Northwestern. We can't be losing to Northwestern. He's a type of leader that somebody on that defense or a couple guys have to say, you know, enough is enough. We should be winning this game. We need to be playing pissed off and take the retribution out on the other team, not waiting, as James Franklin said, for somebody else to make a play. So I think the only thing maybe the defense still doesn't quite have, because they're young, is a couple of leaders that are going to grab everybody and throw them around and say, we're taking this game ourselves, you know?
Yeah, Jason Kabinda, Marcus Allen would have been guys like that, for example, that had that kind of attitude. I mean, I remember, you know, Joe Paterno always talking about he'd go up and down the sideline. Now, I'm not comparing Joe to James. I'm giving everyone an example here. But he'd say, okay, who's going to make a play? Who's going to make a play? Who's going to make the play? Right? And that's what James is doing with his team. He's looking at him and saying, look, each one of you can make the play. Who's going to make the play?
Right. And I think, you know, you can't make certain guys be certain personalities. So it's nothing against the seniors, for example, the few they got. You know, that's the other issue. They hardly have anybody. But he's somebody who, if nothing else, they just have to, you know, come together and say, this is our game. We don't care what the offense does. We're so upset about this whole thing. We can win the game. We can take on Wisconsin and shut down Jonathan Taylor and go from there. You know, to me, it's an attitude at this point. And I don't know if the offense can get fixed in 3 weeks, but I'm thinking the defense, despite all the plays they played, they have a better chance. Saturday's the game. You know, that's the last chance they have to kind of make a statement, really.
All right. So you mentioned when we started out about basketball, that'll be doubling up doing football and basketball over the next few weeks here. In basketball, Dick Girardi and I will talk about maybe 3 minutes to go in a game. How many possessions are left in a game? And we'll talk about points per possession. This is not going to be, in all probability, a 15 or 17 possession game for each team. This is probably going to be an 11 or 12 possession game for each team. When there are limited possessions, let's do this two ways. How much pressure does that put on Penn State in a limited possession game? Conversely, if Penn State can get to the front, what pressure does it then put on Wisconsin, which doesn't want to play more possessions?
Oh, yeah, I think it puts an immense pressure on Wisconsin. I mean, if Penn State can just, you know, string some first downs together, flip in the field, you know, the crowd is going to be there. Wisconsin has their own quarterback issues. They can't get behind because I don't care how good your running back is, right? I mean, if that's what you're keying on, I think they can figure out a way to hopefully, you think, slow him at some point. So I think it does. I think, you know, Penn State needs to take care of themselves with at least, you know, Miles Sanders said today, he made it emphatic that we still believe we can run the football. We told our linemen that, and that's just what we're going to have to do. You know, I keep harping on the defense because I think that, you know, you also have Nick Scott and John Reed playing better as seniors or as experienced guys. Create some turnovers, make it easier on your offense. You know, I think they have the potential to do that, but they're getting closer.
Well, and here's the bothersome part for Penn State defensively, and you can turn it around very quickly because Wisconsin, Taylor's a fabulous running back with one major flaw. He does put the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
And Penn State's got to sit on it because they're good at forcing them, not good at recovering them.
And that goes right to exactly what I was going to say, Frank. 18 fumbles forced by the Penn State defense this year. They recovered 4. The last 7 the opponents put on the ground at Beaver Stadium, they haven't been able to get any of them.
No. And you know what? And I didn't really know much about Garrett Taylor coming into the year, but he didn't look to me like an enforcer type of player. But I tell you what, the kid has a nose for the ball.
Yes,
he
does.
How many times does something crazy happen and you see him running down the field with it? So, hopefully, you know, if you're a Penn State fan, you're hoping that continues, but that it rubs off. He has a way to find it. Okay, well, that's got to kind of bleed over to some of the other kids.
All right, so now let's. I want to get to big picture here with the college football playoff. The latest snapshot is out, and in the current snapshot, it's Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan. What did you think about how the rankings played out with Georgia and Oklahoma, the two at the moment on the outside looking in?
Well, somebody's got to be number 4, right? And yep. I think those three teams have reasons. I mean, they're different teams, different types of teams, built different ways. They all got a case. The good thing is they're all right there, and for each of them. I mean, they, you know, no need to worry at this point. I don't really make a whole lot of that, other than the fact that I can't see anybody beating Alabama. I don't know if anybody is close to that. But those teams you mentioned, they all are, you know, they deserve to be where they're at. But even those teams have their own issues that they're going to have to overcome to stay at number 1 through 4. You know, get into number 4. So I have no issue with that at this point. It's gonna figure itself out the next few weeks for those spots.
You know there'll be financial pressure at some point, and it'll be financial pressure, not competitive pressure, to expand this thing from 4 to 8. The athletic departments, with everything they have, need money. How would you feel about 4 to 8 idealistically? I'm not asking realistically, but I mean idealistically.
Oh, yeah, I think I think people have, they want it all. They want many, many teams in the playoff. That's not always a good thing because, you know, in this world that we live in now, everybody wants everything fast, quick now, and more than what they need. So 4 was a good place to start, and they've done that, and they've done it for a few years, and it's working to a point, and it's better than what was before. But, yeah, I think you got to go to the next level. I just don't know how quickly they're going to do that. But yeah, I'm in agreement. Go for 8. Then you have more leeway. You can figure out what you want to do with conference winners. You have more chances to figure out a better way to get more deserving teams in, because 4 is still just a little bit too constricted.
And there's too much Alabama and Clemson
every year, and the thing is that you want a better chance to have those teams work a little harder at the end, right? Because sometimes, look at Notre Dame, sometimes the schedule works out to be too hard, and sometimes it works out to be too easy. It's too easy this year. And sometimes Alabama's schedule isn't the greatest beyond a few of the tough teams they need to play in the SEC. So make them work a little harder, right? At the end, make them earn it a little more. Because right now, doesn't seem like Alabama's doing a whole lot sometimes to even have to earn getting to the title game. They're too good, you know? They need somebody to give them another round, right, to go through.
All great points, Frank, as usual. Absolute pleasure, my friend, as always. People
always
appreciate hearing you all the time.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I look forward to seeing you. Have a great rest of the day.
Hey, I look forward to seeing you on Saturday, Frank. Thanks so much.
Okay. Take care.
Frank Bodani, always doing great work down there in York. Great work. Excellent reporter. Excellent commentary as well. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Fell. Usually the Thursday night games are whatever. Now the Vikings game and the Rams in Los Angeles earlier in the year, loved it. Enjoyed it. I was looking forward to it. It lived up to expectations. I think we've got one of those this week. Steelers and Panthers. I think this is the NFL a potential slice of gold for them, because I think it has a chance to be a really, really good game. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to, you know, tomorrow night on the talk show, we've got James Franklin and Patrick Chambers both on the show. And when that thing's over with, I am going to come back, throw a few logs into the wood stove. It's going to be a bit chilly tomorrow night. Let's see here. Talk show over tomorrow night. Okay. Talk show over tomorrow night. So I'll probably get home about 8 because I've taped the pregame with James. 45 degrees and dropping. Oh, that's tonight.
And you've already stacked the lumber, so you're good to go.
I have stacked it. Let's see. Let's go to tomorrow night. 8 o'clock tomorrow night. 38 degrees when I get home. Perfect. Okay. Had that baby roaring. Come in, put my feet up, and I'm going to watch the NFL on Thursday night. Last week, Kathy and I watched a movie. Last Thursday night. There's no need to do anything else. We're going to watch a movie. Okay?
Christmas movie? And, Hallmark Channel? They're already flying on the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, no. I'm trying to think. What did we watch last Thursday? Let's see, it wasn't a Bond movie. it probably was a holiday movie. It probably was a Christmas movie. But that's what we did last week. This week, though, the NFL wins. We're going to watch that. Yeah, I will. She won't. I will. She'll walk in the living room. What's the score? I'll tell her. Okay, that's about the extent of it. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's what I'll do tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, because I already have the basketball game prepped. I already have the football game prepped. Right? I'm all set. I have to do the pregame with Patrick. I've got to do the pregame with James. That's it. That's all I'm doing. At that point, I hit Friday, all good. We're going to have tomorrow our high school roundtable on tomorrow. We got the, let's see, Sealands Grove is at Jersey Shore. And which, by the way, since the suit insulted them on the show, Jersey Shore has been really good. And Saturday, it's Lewisburg playing at Montoursville. I think that's correct, right?
And then
we'll have Ray Fittipaldo on Friday's show. And then the King, who, yes, is back home, by the way. He got home Friday night. And he's trying to just, you know, take it easy this week with that leg. That it looks like you expanded your lead again.
Had another great week. Went 5-1 again.
What did we go? 4-2, 3-3?
Yes. Yeah, I believe.
I gave you two options here. Which one was it?
I believe Kev went 4-2, you went 3-3. I have the stuff on my desk.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go.
So I believe Kevin's now 8 over .500.
Well, we can't catch you. You're in the lead. You're on a roll.
I have no idea how this is happening.
I know how mine's happening. I put about as much effort into it as... Oh, yeah.
See, I'm finally taking your lead and not stressing out over this stuff, and I seem to be doing pretty good.
Well, I don't stress out over it. It's like, I think it's great for entertainment purposes.
That's right. That's the key. We need to keep it entertainment purposes. I don't want to boast and brag and that kind of thing. Hey, ride with this guy and you'll come home a winner and grab some extra. I don't want to. Then that's when the pressure is going to follow.
Yeah, we'll leave all the bragging and boasting to the digital media part of the operation.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.